بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما نقصت صدقة من مال وما زاد الله عبدا بعفو إلا عزا وما تواضع أحد لله إلا رفعه الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد My respected elders and dear brothers, in the short hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I recited in the khutbah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has pointed out the three causes of the problems of the world. The problems in the world today are basically because of three factors, and not only has Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam singled out the factors that are causing the problems, but he has also shown the solution and the cure for those problems. The first factor that causes the problems in the world is the love of wealth, especially the excessive love of wealth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has singled this factor out, and he has also shown the cure that when a person is afflicted with this disease, it is a kind of a bimari, it is a kind of a sickness when a person has got excessive love of wealth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown the cure, the solution, how to overcome this excessive love of wealth. The second factor Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has identified that is a cause of problems in the world is when people have this desire to take revenge for some harm that has befallen them, they are not prepared to forgive, etc. This is what causes a lot of problems in the world, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown the cure and the solution for this problem also. The third factor which causes a lot of problem in the world is man's desire for name and fame. Every person wants to be a VIP. Everyone wants to be recognized, everyone wants to be acknowledged, every person feels some sense of importance about himself. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has identified this also as a factor, and he has shown the ilaj and the cure and the solution for this. This is why it has been said, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with certain blessings that were not even given to the Anbiya alayhimus salam of the past. Certain specialities of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are special only to him, no Nabi of the Anbiya alayhimus salam in the past have been given these specialities that were granted to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the specialities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Jawami'ul Kalim. Utitu Jawami al-Kalim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him brevity and conciseness of speech, that the sentences that he would utter would be very, very brief, very short, very to the point. Khairul kalam ma qalla wa dalla wa lam yutil fa yumilla. The best of speech is that speech which is short but to the point. It's not long and drawn out that it makes a person bored, and it actually makes a person disinterested. The best speech is that which is short and to the point. And this is why we find that the speech of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every word, every sentence that he uttered was extremely meaningful. And every word had some kind of deep wisdom hidden within that word. Like somebody said, it was as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the ability of condensing an ocean in a cup. This was the power of speech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His one sentence was an ocean. And if ulama have been expounding on the hadith and the sayings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1400 years have gone past and no alim has claimed up to this day that we have done justice to the commentary of the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every now and again a new commentary comes out. Every now and then more recent commentaries, contemporary commentaries of the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are being printed, and it has still not reached its end. This will continue till the day of Qiyamah, inshallah ta'ala. So this is the speech of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Extremely brief, extremely concise, but very, very meaningful. This one sentence, this one hadith, this one saying has the problems of the world encapsulated in it with the solutions to those problems. The main thing, my dear brothers, is that we should put it into practice. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal on it. It is like a sick person who knows what tablets are to be taken. He knows the sickness. He knows the cure. He knows the effect of certain medication. He will rattle off a list of all the tablets that you have to take for a certain sickness or certain disease. But he does not take the tablet. He doesn't take the medication. What is the point? Knowing it all, but not putting it into practice, not implementing it in one's life. This is the condition of the Muslim Ummah. Today, we know a lot. We've read a lot. We've heard a lot. But what is lacking is the amal and the practice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to put these things into practice little by little. We should always listen to the hadith, and we should study the hadith with this intention that I will put this into practice, not in the future, but immediately I will try to put it into practice. When a bayan is in progress, we must engage with the talk in such a way that as I am listening, I will be putting it into practice. When a certain point is made in a bayan, we have to analyze our own selves, look at it in the light of our own life and say, if this is found in my life, alhamdulillah, ashukrulillah, I'm grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will continue on this and will ask Allah ta'ala for steadfastness on it. But if we find that we are lacking in that particular issue, then immediately we should make some kind of intention in our heart that I will put this into practice. Then we can say that we are listening with the true spirit of listening. We are listening in that spirit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard and we have obeyed. There were many people, nations that came in the past, their attitude when they heard, lectures have been carrying on from the time of Adam alayhi salam, sermons, speeches, advices, nasihat, etc. This has been carrying on from that time. There were nations that came in the past and they said, Sami'na, we have heard. Wa asayna, and we have disobeyed. Allah save us. This can be not necessarily by words, but our actions. That we hear something, but we dismiss it. We hear it, we don't give it importance. Then we are saying indirectly, Sami'na wa asayna, we have heard and we disobey. Our hearing must be on this basis, Sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard, O Allah, and we are going to practice, we are going to obey, we are going to follow. This is the way of listening of a mu'min, of a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that from now onwards, any speech, any talk that we hear, any nasihat that we receive, our outlook, our attitude must be Sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard and we will implement, inshallah. My dear friends, coming to this advice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing he mentioned in this hadith sharif is that there is this excessive love for wealth. Obviously, these are not the direct words, but this is the implied meaning. Insan has got love for wealth. And this love of wealth is what takes him in all the wrong directions. He does all those things which he's not supposed to be doing. And he engages in those activities which he should not be engaging in. Today, my dear friends, we hear so many instances of Muslim people. Now and again, these items come up for discussion in the masjid parking lots and on the pavements, elsewhere, at weddings, at functions and so on, that so-and-so person was indulging in this unlawful activity, in this illegal activity, in this haram activity, in this wrongful activity. Why is this happening? Because of the love of wealth. The love of wealth, that is uncontrolled, unchecked love of wealth, is making people do things which is completely wrong, which is completely forbidden. Very sadly, last week I heard of an incident in one town. I won't mention which town it is, but two Muslim families, because of business rivalries, the one family went to this extreme that they hired hitmen. They hired hitmen, and included in that were some senior police officials. And before Fajr time, they ordered a hit on a particular rival family, who, because of business rivalries, because of this animosity that was prevailing, they wanted to actually eliminate this person, assassinate this person, have him killed. And it was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to save this person. For some reason, they were not able to carry it out, and the flying squad, not as it's usually supposed to be, got there in good time, and they managed to arrest these people, and they were taken into custody. And then they spoke up, and when they confessed, it came out that actually the rival family had ordered all of this, and now those people are behind bars today. In a small community, this has caused so much of upheaval, and there's so much of bitterness now, because we can see that when a person, there's no control over this love of wealth. The person wants to receive and earn that wealth at every cost, whether it comes halal, whether it comes haram, he must have that wealth. Then this is the result and this is the outcome. Worse things than this have also happened, but obviously there isn't time to go into that detail today. So my dear friends, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the ilaj and the cure. The ilaj and the cure, when a person has this excessive love for wealth, the ilaj and cure for that, the antidote for that is sadaqah. Person must get into the habit of giving sadaqah and charity. That is why it is said that zakat, when a person gives zakat, zakat is a purification. The word zakat itself means purification. It's not only just a purification of the wealth that is there, but zakat is also a purification of the heart. When a person gives zakat, in actual fact, he's purifying his heart from the excessive love of wealth. This love of wealth that makes a person go crazy, that makes a person go mad, that a person can't distinguish between halal and haram. He doesn't see day or night. He doesn't see his family. He doesn't see his own body. He doesn't see his own health. And he goes crazy in this love of wealth. This zakat is actually a cure. It is a means of cleansing and purifying the heart from this crave of wealth. So we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that sadaqah is such a thing that by giving charity, the love of wealth is diminished in the heart of a person. Because the thing which a person loves so much, he is parting with that which he loves. When he begins to part with that which he loves, then the love of that automatically diminishes in his heart. And when a person gives charity, obviously he's giving it with some intention or some motivation in the back of his mind. What is the motivation in the back of his mind? The motivation in the back of his mind is that I am giving this in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I know that this will be stored up for me in the akhirat. This will be banked for me in the bank of the akhirat. It will go into such a safe, into such a vault, into such an account that no internet trickster will be able to steal from that account. No person is going to be able to rob that bank and steal it from there. No fire is going to destroy it. No floods are going to come and destroy it. It is in such a safe place. It is in the custody of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the day when I will require it the most, in the akhirat, that is the day that will given, it will be given back to me. So with that motivation, a person gives charity. He gives sadaqah. He realizes that for me to bank in that bank is more important than to bank in this bank of the world. And so slowly, slowly, by giving sadaqah and charity, the love for wealth diminishes in the heart of a person. We find, my dear friends, the one obstacle that comes between a person and giving of charity and sadaqah is that a person has this fear in the back of his heart, that in the back of his mind or in his heart, that if I give charity, then my wealth is going to diminish. My wealth will become less. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also alerts us to this fact in the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ash-shaytanu ya'idukumul faqra wa ya'murukum bil fahsha. When you want to give charity, shaitan comes and whispers in your heart, and he frightens you, he threatens you, that if you're going to give in charity, you're going to give in the path of Allah, you will become poor. Then what will happen? You are giving charity. Tomorrow, you may have to receive charity. So don't give charity. Be careful. Give very little. Don't give. You need it yourself. Your children need it. Your grandchildren will need it. Your great-grandchildren will need it. Your 7 generations will need it. Your 10 generations will need it. This is the whispers that shaitan puts in a person's mind. And a person starts planning now for the next generation, the following generation. I must leave so much behind that generation after generation must be able to live off that wealth. As though we want to take the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that now we have become the Razzaq. We are the providers. We are responsible for the generations to come. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken responsibility himself for every one of us till the day of Qiyamah. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Every single human being, every living creature, every animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taken responsibility for its sustenance. Inna Allah huwa ar-razzaq dhul quwwati al-mateen. Allah is the one who is the provider. La nas'aluka rizqa, nahnu narzuquk. We don't ask of you people sustenance. We are the ones who provide the sustenance. So my dear friends, this is the obstacle that comes into a person's mind, that if I give charity, it will become less. I will be in need myself. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has removed this misconception in this hadith, that ma naqasat sadaqatun mimmal. Don't worry. By giving charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your wealth is not going to diminish. Your wealth, in fact, will increase. Your wealth will grow more. You give in the path of Allah, and Allah is going to give you back in many other ways. The human mind, the eyes, tell us, I got 100 rand, I gave 10 rand in charity, I count my money, I see from 100 rand it's gone to 90 rand. It's gone less. The mind is calculating, the calculator is telling you from 100 rand it's gone to 90 rand. The eyes are seeing it's 90 rand. The mind is calculating, it's telling us it's 90 rand, it's gone less. But Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that it hasn't gone less. Are we going to believe our eyes? Are we going to believe our minds and the calculator? Or are we going to believe Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is the test of iman. My dear friends, how does the wealth not become less? In many, many ways. Ulama have interpreted this hadith in various ways. Different interpretations are given. That outwardly it may look like it is getting less, but in actual fact, that 10 rands of sadaqah that we gave may save us from thousands of rands in some disaster or calamity that may befall us after that. Person gave 10 rand in sadaqah and charity, an example. But he got saved from a major, major accident on the road 1 second before a kumbi was passing by at the top speed, shot through the red robot, and he got saved, like they say, by whiskers. It would have cost him hundreds of thousand rand in the hospital for months on end. He would have been there, the pain, the injury, etc., etc. So outwardly it seems that his wealth has become less, but in actual fact he may have saved hundreds of thousands. Maybe a situation where a person gave that sadaqah, outwardly his wealth has diminished, but then he got saved from getting involved in litigation, in a court case that would have cost him hundreds of thousands, would have gone in lawyers' fees, etc., to fight a case with someone that got averted because of the sadaqah and charity that he gave. He gave sadaqah and charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed a certain disaster from befalling him, that suddenly the taxman was on his back and they decided to check through his books, and now they found that the books were all cooked up and crooked up, and now he has to pay penalties and he has to pay hundreds and thousands in fines to the revenue department. He got saved from that. Hundreds of instances one can give examples that little amount of charity will save him a large amount of money, huge amount of money that he would have spent otherwise. And on the bargain, by giving that sadaqah and charity, spiritually his heart becomes cleansed and purified. The love of wealth diminishes in his heart. And more over and above that wealth which he gave in sadaqah and charity, that has now been banked for him in the bank of the akhirat. The day when he will need it the most, that wealth will be available for him. And that is his real wealth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in the hadith sharif that insan says, mali, mali, mali. In Zulu also wealth is called mali, money. In Arabic, mali means my wealth. Person is proud about his wealth, he's worried about his wealth, he's boasting about his wealth, etc. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that is not your wealth, except which you have eaten, except what you have worn, except what you have used, and except which you have banked in the akhirat. The rest of it is for your heirs. The rest of it is for other people to enjoy. How many examples, Nabi Kareem, a whole volume can be written on this chapter, on this issue, on this subject, that how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has exhorted and advised his ummah, that is it better for you to leave that wealth behind for somebody else, or is it better for you that you bank it for yourself in the bank of the akhirah when you will need it the most? In various ways Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has exhorted his ummah to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that way the love of wealth will diminish in the heart. My dear friends, this was just one part of the hadith. The other two parts of the hadith, unfortunately, we do not have time to go into those details. But one thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that when a person has this spirit to take revenge from someone, then that is the door to a lot of problems in society. Because then it becomes a matter of tit for tat and scoring of points. How many a times we find there's a marital dispute between husband and wife. Now, because there is this fervor for revenge, the husband wants to get even with his wife. He wants to show her a point. She wants to show a point to him. His father and mother want to show a point to the girl. The girl's father and mother want to show a point to the boy. And now it's tit for tat. They're fighting each other on technicalities. They're scoring points against one another. And what is the end result? The end result is a breakdown of the marriage. The end result is a talaq, etc. But if one of the parties said, وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزًّا, for Allah's sake we forgive, for Allah's sake we overlook, for Allah's sake we will humble ourselves, we don't want to score points, we don't want to win this battle, we don't want to be on the winning end as far as the argument is concerned, but we want peace to prevail. We want reconciliation. We want happiness. Then we find the moment one party changes the attitude, one party becomes the forgiving party, one party becomes the reconciling party, immediately the problem is resolved. Those people who deal with matrimonial disputes, they will tell you that most of the times the problem is because people don't want to give up on a certain point. People don't want to have a big heart and forgive and forget. Like they said, that man, he gets and he forgets. And Allah gives and forgives. We should have this attitude, that we must be those who give. That's the first part of the hadith that we mentioned. Second part, give and forgive. Let's make that our motto in life. We must be those who give and forgive, instead of being those who get and forget. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. The last part of the hadith, my dear friends, was that a person has this desire for name and fame. He wants to be somebody important, etc. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that this is a very, very evil desire in a person. On the other hand, a person's attitude should be that I must humble myself. I must consider myself to be nobody. Oh Allah, make me. This is a dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira wa fi ayuni nasi kabira. Oh Allah, make me humble and small in my own eyes, and make me big in the eyes of the people. Let me be humble. Let me see myself as somebody not important. How can I value myself? How can I put a price tag on myself that I am equal to so much, or this is my price, or this is my value? My value will be attached by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Until then, I don't know what is my value. Many a people will come on the day of Qiyamah. People will think they are very great, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be nothing. Many a people will come on the day of Qiyamah. Nobody will give that person a second look, but in the eyes of Allah ta'ala, he will have great, great stages. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.